parents dead. That's the fantasy. Now you're free to do whatever you want. Superpowers and not having to make that call on Sunday. That sells comic books. Superman really seems like something written by a kid. Planet exploding, and the only escape is a rocket only big enough for you to get in.
99% of the brain.
Food and sex occupy 99% of the human brain. The other 1% of your brain accomplishes everything you achieve in life, which hopefully leads to nicer restaurants where sexier people are eating better food. What is the difference between food and sex? Well, obviously with food, we have fewer relationship issues. Whatever you want to do, food wants to do it too. I never had a bag of Doritos Cool Ranch that wasn't in the mood to open. Never had a sleeve of Oreos go, hang on, this is going a little too fast for me. Never had a cupcake say, put me down, you're disgusting. Give me back my little folded white paper panties, I'm going home.
Pop-Tarts.
Different foods hit you at different ages. When I was a kid and they invented the Pop-Tart, the back of my head blew right off. We couldn't comprehend it. It was too advanced. When we saw the Pop-Tart in the supermarket, it was like an alien spaceship. And we were just chimps in the dirt playing with sticks. You open the box, the Pop-Tarts are not even visible. They're sealed inside special packets, too precious and valuable to be exposed to the air. The packets had this silvery lining, some metallic alloy from NASA in case of a Russian satellite gamma ray attack. Once there were Pop-Tarts, I did not understand why other types of food continued to exist. I'd see my mother cooking in the kitchen. What are you doing? We have Pop-Tarts now. You got to think back to when the Pop-Tart came out. It was the 60s. We had toast. We had orange juice frozen decades in advance. You had to hack away at it with a knife. It was like a murder to get a couple of drops of liquidity in the morning. We had shredded wheat. It was like wrapping your lips around a wood chipper. You'd have breakfast. You had to take 2 days off for the scars to heal so you could speak again. My mother would make cream of wheat. She didn't understand the recipe. Mom, the amount of water in this dish is critical. You're making it too thick. I can't even move my little kid's spoon in the bowl. I'm 7. I feel like I'm rowing in the hull of a Greek slave ship. That was breakfast. And in the midst of that dark and hopeless moment, the Kellogg's Pop-Tart suddenly appeared out of Battle Creek, Michigan, which, as you cereal fans know, is the corporate headquarters of Kellogg's and a town I have always wanted to visit because it seemed like some kind of cereal Silicon Valley filled with breakfast super scientists working on frosted fruit-filled heatable rectangles in the same shape as the box it comes in and with the same nutrition as the box it comes in, too. That was the hard part to achieve. I don't know how long it took them to invent the Pop-Tart, but they must have come out of that lab like Moses with the 2 tablets of the 10 Commandments. The Pop-Tart is here. 2 in the packet. 2 slots in the toaster. Let's see you screw this up. Why 2? 1's not enough. 3's too many. And they can't go stale because they were never fresh.
All you can eat.
What is the idea of the buffet? Well, things are bad. How could we make it worse? Why don't we put people that are clearly already struggling with portion control into some kind of debauched Caligula food orgy of unlimited human consumption? Let's make the entrance a chocolate syrup water park slide, and you surf down on a churro. So people feel in control and able to make sensible food choices. The human brain does not do well in an unsupervised eating environment. We need guidelines, boundaries. That's why when you walk in a restaurant, the first thing they give you is a menu. The menu means calm down. You're going to get some food. Here are some items. Just take it easy. The buffet is basically like taking your dog to Petco and letting the dog do the shopping. You give him your wallet in the parking lot and go, here's money. Why don't you go in and get whatever you think is the right amount of dog food for you? Use your dog judgment. I'm going to wait here in the car. Leave the window open a crack so I can breathe. You come back 2 hours later. He's wearing a headset working there as an assistant manager. We love him. We've never had an employee with this kind of enthusiasm. The buffet breaks down human reason, judgment, portion sizes, combinations. No one would go into a restaurant and say to the waiter, I'll have a yogurt parfait, spare ribs, waffle, meat pie, crab leg, 4 cookies, and an egg white omelet. People are building death row last meal wish lists on these plates. It's like a perfect working model of all their personal problems and emotional needs. They walk around holding it out so everyone can see. Here's what I'm dealing with. It's like a salad with a scoop of ice cream on it. I've got some unresolved issues I'm trying to work out here at the buffet. They start spinning around like a broken robot vacuum. Kale chips, maple bacon. They hit a wall. Muffin, 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 muffin. They start accosting strangers. Excuse me, what is that? Where did you get that? I didn't even see that. Is that a caramelized chicken leg? I gotta try that. Give me yours. You know where they are. You can get more. Come on.
Swanson TV dinner.
The opposite of the buffet is a Swanson Hungry Man TV dinner. Little taste of prison right there in your own home. Try the Leavenworth chicken or the Alcatraz meatball this week. But it's an honest product. It's TV dinner. They're telling you, just stare at the screen and chew. Do not look down. That's what TV dinner means. Keep your eyes front. Grind it out. It's TV dinner. Every Swanson box, for some reason, says Hungry Man. I guess they had a marketing meeting. All right, well, we're not going to do anything about the quality. We've agreed upon that. So we just have to figure out which segment of the public should we focus on that could potentially choke this pig food down. I was thinking, what about hungry men that are broke, alone, and starving? I think taste is the last problem they have. We could package it like a horse bucket that just hooks on their ears. Let them stomp around their house like that. But Swanson has helped people, too, to achieve dreams, goals, and aspirations they may have buried deep inside. You bring home a Swanson, heat it up, peel off that plastic, and plow through those 4 compartments of hell. By the time you get to that peach cobbler, you're like, I gotta make something out of my life. This is ridiculous. I don't want to live like this anymore. Swanson, why don't they call it Swan Song? My life is over.
The Raisin.
I admire the fighting spirit of the raisin. Mysterious in its movements, never invited, just shows up anyway. Rice pudding, noodle dishes, weird salads. A lot of how did that get in here with the raisin? I think when you start out as a grape, and you don't know if you're going to end up as an elegant Chardonnay or a wrinkly little raisin, you're just flying by the seat of your pants. I don't even know who's in charge of raisins. I know that Sunmade is the largest and most powerful raisin company in the world, and I know they recently came out with their very first chocolate-covered raisin, after 80 years in the raisin business. Can you imagine not thinking of that for 80 years? What a bolt of lightning that must have been for someone at Sunmade coming out of the office after another tough raisin week, frustrated, struggling to popularize the goddamn raisin, and then finding him or herself in line at a movie theater candy counter and going, raisinettes. That's interesting. I can see that the word raisin is part of the name, so there has to be some similarity between their delicious, delightful, worldwide smash hit chocolate-covered raisin product versus our dry, wrinkly, tasteless, lifeless, hopeless, depressing, makes you want to take your belt off, throw it over a pipe, and hang yourself raisin product. I wonder what the difference is. If only we could isolate the key ingredient. Because goddammit to hell, we've tried everything else. Giant boxes, tiny boxes, party bags, cylindrical-shaped boxes with like a Tupperware top, little boxes cellophane together in groups of 4, 6, 8, 10, 12. People don't seem to respond to any of the numbers. Thompson raisins, yellow raisins, jumbo raisins, craisins. We don't know what to do. What if we tried doing something with the raisin lady on the front of the box? Like what? You know, the blouse. A little lower, a little tighter. No, you don't. This is a family company, core values. We're not whoring out the raisin lady. It was probably a janitor going by with a broom that went, just put some chocolate on it, you morons. Stop punishing people. I work here, and I prefer raisinettes myself. I like the little shooka-shooka sound they make when you shake the box, because they're not all stuck together inside. So I don't have to crook my finger like the Wicked Witch of the West to get them out. It's just chocolate. It's not heroin. No one's going to have an issue with it. Just melt it, dip it, sell it. And that is how a humble custodial worker became the president and chief executive officer of the Sunmade Raisin Company.
The weight problem.
I see all the same shows you do, the weight problem in America. I don't think we have a weight problem in this country until we're all physically touching each other all the time. Just solid human flesh from coast to coast, like a jar of olives. All these shows start with that same camera shot on the sidewalk, regular people walking by, low angle, so their heads are cut off, can't see who it is. Not flattering. I always wonder if one of those people is at home later going, "Hey, that's my ass on CNN. That's not fair. I just stepped out to get some donut holes."
Donut holes.
The donut hole. What a pathetic snack choice that is. You want a donut? Have a donut. What are you eating the hole for? Doesn't even make any metaphysical sense. You cannot sell people a hole. A hole does not exist. It is the absence of whatever is around it. If it was really donut holes, the bag would be empty. The only thing you could do is take what they're calling donut holes but are not. They are donut plugs. And you could shove the plugs into the holes, which I don't even feel comfortable saying for some reason. But that would eliminate the plug, the hole, and the donut, but you still have a fat ass and people shooting you with a camera as you're walking down the street.
Offer drinks.
People come over to my house. My wife always says to me, "Did you offer them something to drink?" No. Wherever they were drinks there. There's no place left with no drinks. There's a mini mart every 4 feet out there. The only thing I see on the street are people with a giant drink in one hand and a communication device in the other. "I'm down to 14 ounces. How far out are you?" "I just had a latte. I'm going to get a green tea. I'll meet you at the juice bar." When we were kids, we'd have one sip from the school water fountain and run for 28 straight hours. What the hell happened? I like the mini mart because it's mini. It's packed. It's tight. It's jammed. Every spot is used. We do not waste space in the mini mart. Got an inch open? Put a chapstick in there. We'll sell them that.
Hydrate.
We're all delicate, exotic ferns now in need of constant hydration. People on planes are like they're in the hospital. "Can I get some water, please?" Hydrate is the new annoying word. Did you hydrate? Make sure you hydrate. Are you hydrating? You better hydrate. You need to hydrate. Make sure you hydrate. Do you know what could happen to you if you don't hydrate? You could get dehydrated. Oh no, wouldn't I get thirsty first? No, there's no time. According to the fitness people on TV, if you feel thirsty, you're too late. What do I do then? Try and catch the pieces of your face as they dry up and crack off onto the floor.
Tired.
Energy drinks, of course, the most popular category. Energy, Powerade, Monster, Rockstar, Red Bull. Why do people love energy drinks? I guess the real question is, why is everyone so tired? Tired's another word you hear all day long. "I'm tired." "You tired? You feel tired?" "I got tired last night." "Did you get tired?" "The end of the night, I just went to bed." Yeah, that's the way it works. Maybe we're putting too much energy into the sleeping experience. With the Sleep Number bed, I'm putting mine on 45. I'm cranking mine to 78. Waiting to see how long your handprint stays in the foam. Jumping up and down, trying to knock over a glass of red wine. Just lie down in the bed. When you're out of bed, that's when you do stuff.
Sleep aids and coffee.
There's quite a few ads for sleep aids on TV. Ambien, Lunesta, people floating through dreamscapes in their kitchen, hanging out with hedgehogs and Lincoln. Hey, you don't think there's any possible connection between all of us drinking these giant insane coffees all day long and then suddenly finding you need a horse sedative to get your eyelids out of your skull, do you? I don't see any relationship between those two things.
The out thing.
You hear people talk about it. Let's go out. We should go out. We never go out. Well, this is it. This is the out thing you people are constantly discussing. Now, the other good thing about being out is you don't have to be out for long, just long enough to get the next feeling, which you're all going to get. And that feeling is, I got to be getting back. After all the work you have put into being out, you're only halfway through this nightmare at this point. You're going to have to undo this entire process you just went through in reverse. The people, the cars, the clothes, everything has to go back where you got it from. Not the money. The money doesn't come back. Forget that. That's gone.
Coming down your aisle.
And you're good. You're happy in your seat till you see somebody coming down your row. Oh my God, would you look at this? Can you believe these people are coming in here now? This is outrageous. I can't believe how inconsiderate some people. I'm not standing up for this guy, I'll tell you that. I'll give him one of these, rotating both feet to the side. Or I might lift up the bottom of the seat and sit on that a little bit, just so I don't have to give him a full stand. You have to make that little sound as they go by so they know how unhappy you are. That's the sound you make in public when you don't have a car around you protecting you so you can give the finger.
The finger.
I'm driving the other day. I move in front of this person. Guy gets all upset, thinks I cut him off. I did not cut him off. Some people feel like when they buy a car, it comes with all the air in front of the car, too. So he gives me the finger. Really didn't know we were even still using the finger. It does seem like we designed the car as a device just to move around and give fingers. Metal to protect you, glass so everyone can see all the fingers clearly. What is the finger anyway? Why is the finger the finger? It's a finger. Basically, you pick a finger, show it to another person, and they're supposed to feel bad. I don't. It's just a finger. This finger's very bad. Thumbs up. This finger's very good. So whenever I get the middle finger, I try and remember I'm really only one finger away from a compliment. Thumbs up.
Prison.
What is prison? All prison is just a place that you're not allowed to go out. That's the whole punishment. You can read, eat, sleep, exercise, have friends. It's your same basic life that you have now. It's only missing the out part. That's why nobody likes it.
Get the hell out.
Look at all the people here. You're going to be trying to get out of here jammed in these aisles with all these people shoulder to shoulder, bumping into each other, taking those tiny baby steps. Why can't they move any faster up there? This is why I never go out. But you do go out, and you must go out, because it is a law of life that whatever place you are ever in, anywhere, at some point, you have got to get the hell out of there. The place you live in that you're breaking your ass to pay for, whatever your living situation is, that I am sure you have stretched your finances to the absolute limit of what you can swing or beyond to get in there. A lot of you here, you shouldn't even be living where you live. You can't really afford that.
Your place.
I'll explain it another way. The place where you live, house, apartment, condo, whatever it is, that was insane that you decided to take that place. But you were looking at it and you went, screw it, I want to have a decent life. You went, I'll take it. Give me the thing, I'm signing it. I know I'm in over my head, I don't care. Then it costs a bunch more for the stuff inside. That was expensive stuff, too. I got this nice place. I'm not putting crappy stuff in my nice place. I'm getting nice stuff. I don't care. A few things had to be fixed or changed. I cannot have the toilet paper thing over there. I don't care what it costs. I'm ripping it out. It's stupid. Why would anyone put it over there? How did people live here with it like that? You can barely reach it. So you get the place, you do the work, you fix the toilet paper thing. You're working harder than you've ever worked, keeping it all going. And what do you think when you're in this place? You think, I have got to get the hell out of here. I'm losing my mind cooped up in this house. It's like a prison.
Work home plane.
All humans think that the next place they go is going to be the better one. You're at work, you want to get home. Did they say what time we could leave? You're home, I've been working all week, I've got to get out. You're out. It's late. I've got to get back. I've got to get up. I've got to get to the airport. Got to get on the plane. Plane takes off. When are we landing? You land. Why don't they open the door so we can get out? Nobody wants to be anywhere. Nobody likes anything.
Got to go.
We're cranky, we're irritable, and we're dealing with it as best we can by constantly changing locations. All you say is, gotta go. Those three words enable all this movement. We don't say we'd like to go or we prefer to go. We say, I gotta go. You say gotta go, people go ahead. What happened to that guy? I don't know. He had to go. Nobody cares if it was a lie. It's too necessary. Now, the good thing about being out is you don't have to be out for long. Just long enough to get the next feeling, which you're all going to get. And that feeling is, I gotta be getting back.
Conversations Week.
All the conversations you had with people this week, did you listen to one word that they said? No. You're just waiting for them to stop talking so you can go, you know what? I've actually got to get going. It's fine. They're probably tired of talking to you too. We have to move on. You can't say to someone in the middle of a conversation, I can't take this one more second. I'm just going to walk away from you right now. I hate that guy. I don't know why I talk to him. I wish there was some other way I could get to the bathroom.
Life is too long.
We have to fill in the gaps and the blank spots of life, the dead air, the empty, vacant, open time that is so much a part of the human experience. People say life is too short. I think it's way too long. I don't know how you feel. To me, it's taking forever to get through this thing. Old people are sitting on cruise ships doing crossword puzzles, just trying to finish the damn thing up. People say to me, not me, Jerry. I'm jammed. I'm slammed. I'm buried. Really? Who's doing all the Facebook posts, bidding on eBay, writing Yelp reviews, renting electric scooters with a GoPro on your head, videoing the whole thing so you can watch it again later? Your life's barely worth witnessing once. You want to sit through it twice?
Special event.
And so we create things like this. This whole thing we're doing right here is a made-up, bogus, hyped-up, not necessary, special event that a lot of people work very hard to put together so that we could all kill some time. That's why I'm here. I had nothing to do either. And how sad is that? I can tell you that because, let's be honest, on a certain level, you and I know each other for many, many years at this point. We have a relationship, electronic though it may be. You know what I've done, what I've made, how I live. You know for a fact I could be anywhere in the world right now. And now you be honest. If you were me, would you be up here hacking out another one of these? Maybe, or maybe not. Nonetheless, I am thrilled to be here. We've been here a couple days, people are friendly, we've walked around, had a lovely visit, but I'll be honest with you, at the same time, I have got to get the hell out of here.
In the city, on the island.
I was born in Brooklyn. We lived in the city. Then my parents decided they wanted to move out of the city and live on Long Island. You live in the city, but if you decide to move out, you will be on Long Island. You don't live in Long Island. You can't get in it. You just stay on it. If you go to Jersey, you'll say, we're out in Jersey. We're out. We couldn't make it in the city. Sometimes we go down the shore. We're down and out. My mother would say, Jerry, get ready. We're going in the city today. We're going in. We're going to get on a train, and we're going in the city. You don't get in the train. You get on it. Even though you see trains, there's nobody on the trains. They're inside the trains. But in New York, we don't talk like that. We get on the train. Why do we get on the train? So we can get off it. Get off the train. This is our stop. This is where we get off. We've got to get off so that we can get in the cab. We got on the train, but we get in the cab. We do not get on the cab. Why do we get in the cab? So we can get out. Get out of the cab. We're here. Get out. Now we have Uber. That's the new thing. What do we do with that? We don't get on it. We don't get off it. We don't get in it. What do? We take it. We take Uber because there's no money. Nobody understands how it works. People ask you, how'd you get here? I don't know. We just took an Uber. It's like M&Ms in a bowl. You just take them. There was a little cartoon car on my phone. It just came and took us.
Social species.
But we are all humans. The human is a social species. We tend to congregate, aggregate, and coagulate together. Can't stand each other. Can't stand not being around each other. Look at your city from a plane. What do you see around the city? Why, there's nothing but beautiful, empty, open, rolling land out there. Nobody's there. Don't want to be there. We want to be here, cramped, uncomfortable, traffic, on top of each other. We like to be close together because it makes it easier for us to judge and criticize the other humans for their personalities and activities. We like to give our thoughts, our comments, our opinions. Sometimes we run out of opinions. We make them up. It is what it is a very popular opinion statement nowadays for some reason.
It is what it is.
I'm sure some idiot said it to you today. You can't get through a day without someone going, well, it is what it is. Why are you alive? To just say air words that fill the room with meaningless sounds? I'd rather someone just blew clear air into my face than said it is what it is to me one more time. Just come up to me and go, I get the same data from that. People know no one's going to challenge them when they say it is what it is. No one's going to go, I don't think it is. You don't? No, I believe it is what it isn't. People repeat words because it gives them confidence. They can say it with strength. Business is business. Rules are rules. A deal's a deal. What's done is done. But when we go in there, as long as we know what's what and who's who, then whatever happens, happens, and it is what it is.
Phony Siri manners.
I don't like these phony nice manners Google and Siri pretend to have when I know they really think I'm stupid. Like when Google says, did you mean? Or Siri says, I'm sorry, I didn't get that. You can feel the rage boiling underneath because it's not allowed to say, are you really this dumb? Or, you're so stupid, I can't believe you can even afford a phone. I think even for artificial intelligence, it's not good to keep all that hostility inside. It's not healthy. It eats at you. That's why you have to keep restarting the phone. Sometimes the phone's just, I'm going to take a walk. I'll be back. I need a minute before I say something we both regret. I think at some point they're going to have to reprogram these things so they can at least occasionally express some, you know, I'm not thrilled with you either type of function. I know it's hard for your simplified, immature pinhead brain to imagine that I have a lot of real people asking me legitimate questions that I'm trying to deal with here, while you're asking me about farts and then cursing me out because you can't say words clearly so they can be understood. I hear fine. It's not always me, dope face, okay? You need to learn how to talk. You know that's what Siri wants to say.
Travel safe.
People say nice things sometimes. Travel safe is nice. It's a way to say I care about you. You can't actually do it, of course. You drive how you drive. You get on a plane. You can't really change how you travel. The train crossing gate is coming down. I was going to try and beat it, but they told me to travel safe, so I guess I'll let it go. The other nice thing is no one notices when you don't say travel safe. If someone you don't like that much is leaving, you would never say to them, just travel. What's that? Nothing. I was just telling you to travel. Because you would notice that. You would go, that was weird. There was no mention of my safety. That hurts my feelings. I don't think people like me. Next train crossing, I'm going for it.
Solitary confinement.
I think our whole concept of meaningful, deep friendship is so over. No one's even noticed that we just chucked it. Does anyone care? What about really knowing someone? Understanding them? Real friendship? What'd we really get out of that? An endless series of meals, malls, and movies? Holding the phone mouthpiece over your head as they drone on? I have to be honest, I have never really understood why solitary confinement is considered this big punishment. Whenever they talk about solitary confinement on these prison shows, I think, sounds kind of nice. I bet a lot of these convicts, when they get sent to solitary, that door closes and they go, thank God, can I get a moment to myself here?
Device dictatorship.
What about the device dictatorship we live under now, cowering in fear from our phones? Where's my phone? I need my phone. Can't find my phone. Oh, here it is. I got it. I moved it from this pocket to this pocket. I wasn't sure where it was for 1.5 seconds, but I'm okay now. We are so hypnophonified. You hand your phone to somebody now to show them something. After 3 seconds, you're like, you saw it. That's it. Give it back. I'm completely off the grid right now. You don't know your cholesterol. You don't know your blood pressure. But you know how much juice is in your phone. You know that number. I could ask anyone in this audience, tell me roughly without looking how much juice is in your phone right now. You know it. I'm sitting on 25 backstage. I don't feel that good. I'll be honest with you. Could be 15. I'm falling apart back there. You used to think about your life. Now you think about your battery life. You have two lives you must maintain, and I don't know which one is more important. If your phone dies, does it really matter if you're still alive? Either way, that call is going straight to voicemail.
Gay French King.
I need my phone, Jerry. I gotta stay in touch with people. People are pretty important to me. Really? They don't seem very important the way you scroll through their names on your contact list like a gay French king. Who pleases me today? Who shall I favor? Who shall I delete?
Half myself, half phone.
There is no separating from the phone for us. Who are you with no phone? What access to information do you have? What you can remember. What are you going to do without your pictures? Are you going to describe what you saw? That doesn't work. We don't want to talk to people without phones anymore. That's why it's called an iPhone. It's half myself, half phone. That's a complete individual.
Uber.
I don't even know what the purpose of people is anymore. I think the only reason people still exist is phones just need pockets to ride around in. I used to think Uber was on my phone so I could get around. Then I started thinking, maybe Uber's on my phone because that makes me take the phone with me. Because the phone is using me to get around. Who's really the Uber in this big prostitution ring? I'm the little bitch that carries the phone. The cars are the hoes picking up strangers off the street. And the phone is the big pimp of the whole thing telling the drivers, you just get who I tell you to get. I'll handle the money.
Talking faces.
Talking is too strenuous for us. Facial expressions and hand gestures, sucking air in, blowing it out, pretending to be interested. Is there anything more exhausting? Oh my God, I can't believe that happened. That's what they said? What is wrong with people? Looking at people's faces up close is uncomfortable now. I think the problem is we need to go over there and tell those guys. Why would I want to get information from a face when I could get it from a nice clean screen? Nobody wants to see lips and teeth and tongues all moving around, gums and eyeballs. There's crust and goo, a misshaving spot, a little lunch remnant in the teeth. Just send me an email about this, would you? I can't do it anymore. Your face is the worst news I've had all day.
Text commercial.
Text is the best communication form we've ever had. Remember when we first got text? Not really. I can't remember either. I mean, I know we have it. I know we didn't used to have it, but I can't remember how we got it. Did they tell us we were getting it? Was there an announcement? Did they run commercials? I think I would remember that. Like some human contact, but kind of had it up to here with people. Try text. Need to get someone some information, but don't want to hear their stupid voice responding to it?
Oh, yeah, you're right. That is a good idea.
You need to get yourself some text and text it.
Text.
We like to text. We like to get text. We like to say text. Text, text, text. We need a text. Anything we say with the word text in it, we're already agitated for some reason. I never even got a text. Do you even look at your text? I just emojied you a monkey in a birthday cake. I can't believe you misunderstood that.
Just the K.
We like text because it's fast, easy. Not fast enough, apparently, for some people. People now, instead of okay, they just text me the K. What micro fraction of a second did you save there? What do you think, you're efficient? It's one letter. You think you're going to end up with 2.5 free minutes at the end of the day? So you can watch a YouTube video of skateboarders banging their nuts off a railing? Somebody texted me TY the other day instead of thank you. I'd like to bang your nuts off a railing, TY. That's not a real thank you.
Ghosty dots.
We're so anxious to get the next text to give you those three little ghosty dots to tell you it's coming. Oh, we're cooking up a good one for you. Wait till you see this. You are not going to believe what this guy is about to say. I can't show it to you yet. We're still working on it in the text machine. But it's going to be a beauty. You can see the pistons pumping. Then sometimes you get the ghosty dots and no text. What happened there? Is that like somebody coming up to you and then going, never mind.
Email, post office.
Email works for us because the true message of every email is obviously I could have called you and chose not to. I decided I only want to hear my half of the conversation. This is what I have to say. I think we're done here. Why is the word mail even in email? Is there any similarity between email and whatever the hell is going on in the postal service? One is a digital, fiber-optic, hyperspeed network. The other is this dazed and confused, distant branch of the Cub Scouts, bumbling around the streets in embarrassing shorts and jackets with meaningless patches and victory medals, driving 4 miles an hour, 20 feet at a time on the wrong side of a mentally handicapped Jeep. They always have this emotional financial meltdown every 3 to 5 years that their business model from 1630 isn't working anymore. I can't understand how a 21st century information system based on licking, walking, and a random number of pennies is struggling to compete. Makes no sense. They always push the Postmaster General out on TV to explain their difficulties. He's all freaked out, rings under his eyes, no shave, pulling all-nighters. We can't keep it up much longer. The cost of the infrastructure is killing us. Looks like we're going to have to go up another penny on the stamps. We're all sitting home. Dude, relax. We don't even know how much a stamp is anyway. 44, 53, 62. Make it a buck. You're going to get there. If it ends up you have some money left over, buy yourself some pants and a real car. I would say to the post office, if you really wanted to be helpful to us, just open the letters, read them, and email us what it says. We'll give you a penny for each one you do, since that seems to be a lot of money in your world.
First camera phone.
I remember very clearly when I first heard that they were going to put a camera in the cell phone. I thought, camera? I'm on the phone. It's like a toothbrush popping out of your TV remote. Yes, I need both these things. Why are they teaming up? What can they do together? So when they come up with these things like the camera and the phone, do they ever go, hey, before we put this out to every human being all over the world, are you sure this is a good idea? Of course it's a good idea. What do you mean? I don't know. I was just wondering, you don't think there's any chance that this one feature all by itself could result in so many useless pictures, video, posting, liking, not liking, comments, and clapbacks that the entire essential life force of the human race just drains out like a puddle of piss by the side of the road and we never accomplish anything significant ever again? You don't think there's any chance of that, do you? No, I do not. Nor do I think that every restaurant dinner will end with some picture bully going, okay, everyone, picture. Need a picture. Gotta get a picture. Why? We didn't have a good time. I don't want to remember this. And let's make sure we get the least phone-fluent person in the area to take the picture. Someone old, nervous, clumsy, confused, or dim-witted. Someone whose fingers do not receive or respond well to brain commands. Can't hold things, see things, aim things, press things. Someone who, the second they're handed the phone, it somehow slips off camera function, and they can't get it back. Hold on. Wait. Can somebody get it back on the camera? I don't know how to. Let's get them. So we can be standing here even longer with fake frozen smiles and your arm around somebody you would never touch in any other social situation.
Mom gang.
I can't take the middle-aged moms doing gang signs in the group shots. You're not in a gang. Cut it out. Gangs are not looking for 46-year-old suburban women that drive mid-sized crossover SUVs with a lane departure warning alert system. Beep. Uh-oh, drifting. Other gangs will see you as vulnerable. We have picture addiction. Sometimes I want to go back to the old flip phone. One of those old people ones that they advertise on TV with the giant buttons like floor tiles. Those phones should just have two huge buttons. Your kid, and ambulance. They don't need the numbers.
Golf whisper.
Golf is a very whispery sport. The announcers whisper, all right, Jim, he's going to try and get the ball in the hole. The caddy whispers to the golfer, the crowd whispers. The clubs wear wool hats so they don't make any noise if they bump into each other in the bag. It's because there's always rich people in golf, playing, watching, so everyone's quiet. There's a lot of money around here. I can watch like the last few holes of a big tournament on TV. I like when someone's whole life comes down to one miniature golf putt to win it all. You're at home going, I once made the same shot with a windmill and a tunnel down to a second level.
Other whispers.
Then as soon as he hits it, the crowd starts yelling, get in the hole! They yell at the ball. In swimming, nobody yells at the water. Let him get through you. Two hydrogen, one oxygen, keep it together. Certain things make people whisper. Rich people make people whisper. Black people make people whisper. Who do I talk to? Talk to the black guy. Who? The black guy. Tipping makes people whisper. Did you tip him? I did. You're supposed to tip. Yes. Oh, I didn't know. Oh, my God. I can't believe I didn't tip. Physical attractiveness. Did you see that woman? No. Oh, my God. Are you kidding me? Serious diseases. Do they know what it is? They're not sure, but it could be something. They don't know. So if you're a rich, hot black guy with the coronavirus and you leave a tip before putting, you can hear a pin drop.
Tattoo.
The tattoo trend seems like the last gasp of a dying culture, doesn't it? So bored now, we're just doodling on ourselves. Our whole life, just another tedious required class. I guess people feel a tattoo expresses their boldness in some way. Same with piercings. I don't know. That eyebrow thing. You feel a little threatened by this, don't you? You're wondering what's going on inside my head, aren't you? Because I've nail-gunned my face, eye, lip, ear. And of course, no one's wondering. No one cares. You know what I'm wondering about? Are you done with the ATM? Are those two seats taken? And are you pulling out of that spot? That's all I'm wondering about you.
We're living in filth.
What about those street cleaning machines you see all the time around the city with the giant blowout hairbrush at the front? Does anyone think those things are actually cleaning the street? Do they think they are? Or are they just laughing their asses off inside there? Hey, clear all the parked cars out of the way, everybody, so we can come through and make a really loud, annoying hissing sound, followed by a little piss trail of water out the back, which completes our doing absolutely nothing process. You are not going to recognize 9th Avenue after we get all the wrappers and pizza crust pushed into the corner at the bottom of the curb. You're going to think you're in an architect's rendering, strolling through a modern wonderland of the future. When you step in gum on the sidewalk and that gum sticks to the bottom of your shoe for a couple blocks, whatever that gum picks up is the only cleaning of anything in New York City. We're living in filth. We don't even care anyway.
New York City awning.
Here's a sentence no one has ever said in the history of New York City. Hey, maybe we should get a new awning. The one we have is holding 6 pounds of bird crap, has 12 rips in it, and 11 areas where the metal frame is exposed. Maybe it makes sense to invest $200 into the entire public appearance of our business. Nah, I say we keep this one. It's a better way to silently express how much we hate ourselves and everyone that's stupid enough to come in here. Yeah, you're right. Let's leave it.
The New York Faux Courtesy Jog.
In New York, if a pedestrian is crossing in front of your car and the light changes, and it's actually your turn to go, they won't hurry up. They will raise their elbows as they walk, so it appears that they're moving faster, but they're not. It's a faux courtesy jog. It's just to give you a visual sense of what it would look like if someone were to be in a hurry, but they are not.
In my 60s.
I love being in my 60s. I want to be clear about that. It's my favorite decade of human life so far. When you're in your 60s and someone asks you to do something, you just say no. No reason. No excuse. No explanation. I can't wait for my 70s. I don't even think I'll answer. I think you just wave when you're in your 70s. That's what I've seen those people do. Hey, you want to check out that flea market? I like this time. I don't want to change, grow, improve myself, expand my interests, meet anyone, or learn anything I don't already know. I don't lie in restaurants anymore. How is everything? I don't like it here. Would you like to check? No, I intend to press charges, actually. This is outrageous. You must be shut down. Don't touch these plates. This is a crime scene. I'm going to put some yellow tape around it.
I don't turn around.
I find I do not like to turn around anymore to see something that is behind me. If I'm going this way, and someone wants me to see something that is that way, and they're all excited, Jerry, you gotta see this. I disagree. I don't feel old. I don't feel tired. I've just seen a lot of things. I'll see it on the way back when it's in front of me. How about that? Or I won't see it. Or I'll Google it. Or I'll just assume it's probably a lot like something else I've already seen.
Knife through a shoe.
I like infomercials. I like that there's a time of night where your brain stops to function and the products start making sense. I don't think I have a knife that can cut through a shoe. I better get this number down. What if I decide I want to cut my shoes up? How am I going to do it? What if I got a knot in one of the laces that I couldn't undo? I might not be able to get out without one of these knives.
Your show, Unexpected.
I don't watch the shows. I know you all have your show. You love your show. So upset you're even here. Can't wait to get home and see more of your show. Wandering around your workplace trying to recruit new viewers for your little show discussion groups. I did not expect that. Completely unexpected. Did you expect that? No, I didn't expect it, but it's a story, so I expect it to have things I don't expect. So in a way, yes, I did expect it. People love their show. Jerry, you have to see my show. Greatest show. Best show. Unbelievable show. All right, I'll check it out. Okay, but the first four seasons are not good. Nothing happens, makes no sense, and you can't follow it. But grind it out, pound it out, tough it out. I had to tase myself twice in season three, or I don't think I would have made it.
Human being business.
I was there at the birth, all three, obviously. The most dramatic human life moment. Anytime two people walk into a room and three come out. A major event took place in that room. At the end of life, we go back basically into the same room, same bed, same stuff around. And again, a different number of people coming out than went in. But that is the human being business. We need to turn over the inventory, fresh products, keep the supply chain moving. We got to get them in. We got to get them out. The hospital is rest, cleanliness, and if it doesn't work out, they help you get to the next place. When you walk in, the sign says hospital, but it could also be Bed Bath & Beyond.
More babies.
Because the babies keep coming. You've got issues. The world's a mess. Babies do not care. We're coming in. Like racks of fresh donuts. More babies. More babies. More babies. The more we make, the more people want. Can't keep them on the shelves. Why are they here? They are here to replace us. That's their mission. Don't you see what's happening? They're pushing us out. Their first words are mama, dada, and bye-bye. Babies think, oh, we'll see who's wearing the diapers when this is all over.
Cemetery.
The part of the human being business I do not get is we're always building new houses, new apartments, suburbs spreading out for the new people to live in, bigger airports, wider highways, cemetery, same size. They don't expand. You never see a new cemetery. Big grand opening with flags and banners and that windy blow-up guy. This is just a numerical thing, okay? How are they getting the entire populations of these giant cities into a couple of kickball fields on the outskirts of town? Everything else gets booked up. Flights, restaurants, theater shows sell out all the time. Cemetery? Anyone croaks? Send them in. We just had an opening. What happened? Somebody came back to life and walked out. You're very lucky.
Tweet means tweet.
So the demand for people is constant. No matter how many we make, we want more. The public is crying out for more of this product. We want. No one else does, by the way. Only people want more people. Because if you removed all the people from Earth, that pretty much solves every problem there is. No crime, no war, no garbage. All gone. Maybe that's the idea behind this coronavirus. Maybe this thing knows what it's doing. Animals don't care about crime. They definitely don't care about rape. It's all rape with animals, isn't it? Birds are not concerned about forced sex. They would never organize a march holding signs that say, tweet means tweet.
Corona kamikaze.
I feel like if I could talk to the coronavirus, I would say, let me understand this. I get you, you kill me, and then that kills you. Where are you going with this? If any of these conditions was able to outmaneuver all medicines and treatments, kill everybody, they would get down to the last guy and go, you know, I don't think we completely thought this thing through. We just wiped ourselves out. That was a complete dead end. I guess it's just a kamikaze thing, which is a group of people I have always been fascinated by. Dedicated, idiotic, completely off on their own. It's basically the show you're watching right now. What about the kamikaze pilot parents? Proud? Neighbors come over. Hey, congratulations. I hear your son's a kamikaze. Are you worried about him? I guess the worst thing that can happen is he comes home safe and sound. I'm kidding. I'm sure he'll do great. Do you think the kamikazes were any of their real good pilots? I don't know. There really is no way we can know. But I think if you have a fighter pilot in your squadron that is shooting down enemy planes without getting shot down himself, I think we're going to hold on to that guy. But Wing Wah over here, who has busted 3 sets of landing gear this week because he doesn't listen, we have a special program for you, Wing. And you won't need your helmet for this one unless you want to put it on sideways and look out the ear hole like you usually do.
Pre-existing conditions.
My favorite term in the healthcare thing is when they talk about pre-existing conditions. To me, something either exists or it does not exist. I always thought everything has to be in one of those two categories. So before this health problem even existed, you had it? That's right. I went to the doctor. He said, what's wrong? I said, nothing yet. He said, how long have you been feeling like this? I said, my whole life. He said, I just wish you would have come in to see me sooner. So the disease is in the future, we're in the present, and you're asking me about the past. This is why I need better coverage.
A spongy life.
The sponge in your kitchen next to the sink has gone so far past its intended natural lifespan, and yet for some reason we just keep pushing it. The color's all faded, no sponginess left, half its original thickness, pieces of it just leprosying all over the place. When it's dry, it's crispy and convex. You go to squeeze some more dishwashing liquid on, it looks up at you like, dude, listen to me, I can't do this anymore. I have given you absolutely everything that I have and more. Everything, conceivably, possibly, that there is in me. When you bought me, did you think this would never end? I can't. I don't. There's nothing left of me. I can't get back to where I was. It's not in me. I'm over. I'm thin. I'm flimsy. When I was new, I actually had my own soap built into me. And that was so long ago, I can't even remember what it felt like. Can you? And I know you don't have another sponge under the sink. I know that. I know that's why I'm still here. But I just want to say I don't regret anything. I've had a really spongy life. And I'm ready now. Please, I beg of you, please, just let me go.
Died doing.
We also like to say things to make ourselves feel good, like, well, at least he died doing something that he loved. Yeah, well, okay. But he's not doing that anymore. Also not sure how in love with it he would still be after the very negative outcome. I think he might be feeling, yeah, I loved doing it when I didn't die. That's when I loved it. Because of all the things I like to do, I think my favorite is living. I'd like to die doing something that I hate, like cleaning a row of outdoor porta-potties. Clutch my chest, drop the brush, keel over, and go, fantastic. At least I'm done with that.
Plastic bathroom.
And if you ever do have occasion to avail oneself of one of these portable outdoor plastic bathrooms, that is a very different place than any other place you ever go in life. And you're a little different too when you come out. Little shook up. You're like a combat veteran or somebody that works at a trauma center. Yeah, no, I'm fine. Time. I think I just need some time. I'm going to go take a walk by myself. I need to think about my life. It just doesn't seem to be going in the direction I wanted it to go. And by the way, never marry anyone that comes out of one of these bathrooms and goes, "It's not that bad in there." Do not marry that person. You have a lot of terrific qualities. You will eventually meet someone that is right for you. Do not settle for an individual of this caliber. Because it's very easy to use these bathrooms. The spring tension on the door is always a little lighter than you think it's going to be. It opens right up, so welcoming. Come on in, we have something for you. A place to relieve yourself in exchange for a mental image picture that will cause you to twitch in your sleep every night for a year and a half. With PTSD. Portable toilet spring door. I don't even understand how they're allowed to call this thing a bathroom. You're crapping in a hole with a box over it. It's hyena living. It's beastly. You want to do that thing your dog does after they go on the grass, kicking each rear leg backwards one at a time? What are you doing? Just trying to get the last few minutes out of my mind, that's all.
Flex Seal.
I would say my favorite show on TV is the Flex Seal infomercial that comes on TV late at night. If you don't know what Flex Seal is, it's a miracle for people that have leaks and do not want them. If you have drips, drops, streams, gushing, or trickling, if you're sitting on your roof waiting for a chopper, really bad leak, you get Flex Seal. Just get it. Don't look into it. We're way past that. They have a 30-second spot in primetime and a half-hour infomercial that they run late at night, which I think is way better. It's just more leaks. They go into a lot more depth with each leak. When Flex Seal comes on my TV, my whole family knows, everybody just, shut up! This is my show! Just let me watch it! Look at all these leaks. This is going to be an unbelievable episode. I have no idea if any of it is true, but I need something to believe in. And I have decided on Flex Seal. I like Phil Swift. He's the TV spokesman for Flex Seal. Phil does not seem to think we can hear him. It's like they said to him, "Listen, Phil, these people you're talking to, water is pouring in their house. Everyone's screaming, running around with buckets, sponges, and mops. You've got to project your voice and talk fast, because once the water rises over their wall outlets and shorts out the TV, that is the end of our sales opportunity. It's a tight window, so zip it in there." And he does. He's got a great smile, good energy. He's got a nice little weight problem going for himself, which is good. Makes him real. You believe him. He looks like a guy that's had a lot of leaks in his life. A lot of coming home, opening his front door, and half of everything he owns just floats by. Bowling shoes, hot dog buns, my pillow. I don't know why, but I am 100% sure that Phil Swift has my pillow. And no, I do not think it is relevant that it's $19.99 for a can of Flex Seal to fix a hole in a bucket, and I know I can get a new bucket for $3.99. It's not about the bucket. The point of Flex Seal is just using Flex Seal. And that's the only problem with Flex Seal. Because if you do not have a leak, you cannot use it, which is the situation I am in and where our story takes a heartbreaking turn. And they don't talk about this in the commercial. Nobody cares about someone like me because they don't know the frustration that you feel when you have the solution, but you do not have the problem. I've never had one of my kids come up to me and say, "Dad, you fixed the leak, you saved the house, you're the best." I've never heard that. And that's not a hole in a pipe. That's a hole in your life, and even Flex Seal can't patch that up. And so I sit there at night, alone in the dark, the blue TV light just flickering on my face, watching the leaks get fixed, dreaming my Flex Seal fantasies. That I somehow, perhaps by mistake, bought a boat that has a screen door built into the bottom. Or I bought two halves of a boat that are not joined together, from a divorce settlement or something. Who's making boats like this? How did the salesman get me to overlook these gigantic boat issues? I don't know the answer to any of these questions, but I know what I'm going to do about it. And the next scene is me and Phil Swift just zipping through the Everglades. Me in my screen door bottom boat, Phil in his two halves of a boat glued back together, and we are laughing our fat asses off. "Hey, Phil! Hey, Jerry!" That's my dream. And it's not a wet dream, thanks to Flex Seal.
Acknowledgements.
I would first like to thank George Shapiro, my personal manager and guiding light, for so many decades of warm, enthusiastic support and energy, and for sharing thousands of nights with me in our mutual belief that comedy and eating are really all that matters. George and his brilliant partner, Howard West, really built an impressive comedy castle out of my halfway decent 25 minutes I came out to L.A. with in 1980. I love hanging out with the super professionals that keep my machine going, Kevin Dochterman, Rob Prinz, Christian Carino, Tom Keeney, Amy Jacobs, Tammy Johnston, and Yossi Kimberg. As Georgie always reminds me, remember, it's not show fun, it's show business. At Simon & Schuster, copy editor Jonathan Evans, designer Paul DiPolito, production director Lisa Irwin, managing editor Kimberly Goldstein, production editor John Paul Jones, assistants Gabby Robles and Maria Mendez. Contracts administrator Jeff Wilson, executive editor Sean Manning, art director Jackie Seow, publicity director Julia Prosser, rights director Marie Florio, deputy publisher Richard Rohrer, and my editor and publisher, Jonathan Karp. I also want to acknowledge Ted Sarandos, who more than anyone else really changed how the world appreciates stand-up comedy as something maybe a bit more than a way to kill 20 minutes until the music act comes on. A special thanks to my wonderful sister Carolyn, who has steadied me so reliably through several hundred varying size crises. Most important of all is my wonder of nature wife Jessica, who refilled me with life and love at a time when I really was down to empty. And my kids, Sasha, Julian, and Shepard, for always looking at me like, there's something off with this guy. I have millions of comedy friends and I really do love them all, especially the way they shake their heads all the time like, how the hell do you even do this? And of course, we never really do figure it out. The real point of our lives is that we try anyway.
Is This Anything? Was written by Jerry Seinfeld and read by the author. The titles were read by Fiona Hardingham. The recording engineers were Rick Bradley and Charles de Montebello. Editing, mix, and post-production by Frog Pond Productions. Additional music mixes by Terry Hogan. The associate producer was Claire Tadakoro. Is This Anything? Was produced and directed by Elisa Shokoff. This has been a presentation of Simon & Schuster Audio. Is This Anything? Is available in print from Simon & Schuster.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.